And have Brother Benda with me from Liberia, and you can kind of get a little bit of a peek into what he's here doing and make that connection. That's how God works all the way in our lives, is through connections. I truly believe that. From the time before you get saved, it's always how God, you can look back and see how He brought you together with certain people that really affected changing the rest of your life. It was somebody you were connected with. It's bringing connections. And I'm going to just share a couple of things here. They're not earth-shattering, but simple little things that I think will be, hopefully will help you. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And if you'll remember, 2 Corinthians was a place, church, that was having issues. I'm sure glad that God put the books in the Bible of churches that were having issues and problems. And Corinthians was one of them. Corinth church was a church that was having some real problems. And now 1 Corinthians, we saw it was having bigger problems than it is in 2 Corinthians. But 2 Corinthians, he's really trying to get them to refocus their faith life, their life of faith, their walk of faith. And so I want us to see here 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 1. For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. And in this we groan earnestly, desiring to be clothed upon with our house which is from heaven. But so be that being clothed ye shall not be found naked. For we that are in this tabernacle, that's our body, do groan, being burdened, not for that we should not be unclothed, but clothed upon, that mortality might be swallowed up of life. Now he that hath wrought us for the selfsame thing is God, who also hath given unto us the earnest of the Spirit. Therefore we are always confident, knowing that whilst we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. For we walk by faith, not by sight. He puts that in parentheses. Notice there, it's in parentheses. We are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. Wherefore we labor, that whether present or absent, we may be accepted of Him. Verse 10, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men, but we are made manifest unto God, but I trust also that are made manifest in your consciences. I'll tell you, the whole Christian life is summed up in these few verses. It's about heaven. It's about a body that we have now that we're not going to have for very long. We're a body now that's going to be changed someday for a body that's much better in the heavens. It's not down here. It's not the life that for the Christian is not down here. It's up there. And in fact, it says we groan for it. It's what we groan. And you know what the problem in Canada is? There's not enough groaning for the right things. We don't groan for the things that really matter. It's about groaning for the heavenly things, the eternal things, the things on the other side. We groan. You know, the creation groans. We groan. We're to groan in prayer life. You know, Romans chapter 8, there's a few things in the Bible about groaning. And brother, we better start groaning in Canada for the right things, and groaning that God would have His will and way in our life. And He says, for this we groan. You notice it says there in two times, He says, verse 2, chapter 5, verse 2, for in this we groan. If you go down to verse 4, it says, for we that are in this tabernacle do groan. Hey, the older you get, the more you groan. The older you get, you notice that? The older you get, the more you groan. I mean, there's a few aches and a few things here. It's really not quite meaning that kind of groan. He's really saying, boy, we just want to be in heaven with God. And that's what it's all about for the Christian. But the Corinthians had a problem. They had a little bit of a weakness in that area. And as Christians, we often... we have a tendency to stop looking at the right things. And that's why he puts right in the middle of this verse, this whole text in verse 7, for we walk by faith, not by sight. We walk by faith, not by sight. Let's pray. Father, we pray, we thank you in Jesus' name for a great salvation. Lord, we thank you for being involved in the greatest cause on this earth. Lord, it's a great blessing to be in the kingdom of God. Lord, to have a little part in seeing churches started and people getting saved. And Lord, I just pray you would use us. I pray you'd use Redemption Baptist Church to make a difference in Kindersley. I pray, Lord, that you would empower Brother Holloway and help this church to be a church that walks by faith and not by sight. I pray that in the days, you've already done amazing things here, Lord, in the few short months. We thank you for the building. We thank you, Lord, for the blessings of the men that you've rallied together. Lord, I just pray that they would remember to walk by faith and not by sight. God, we're like the Corinthians. It's too easy to start looking at the things and living for the things down here and not by faith. Lord, we pray, add your blessing to the word this morning for your honor and your glory in Jesus' name. Amen. We walk by faith and not by sight. I'm a pilot. Learned to fly back in 1972, 1973, 74, 75. 74, I got my commercial license. 1975, I had one more rating to get. It was called a instrument rating. And I don't know if any of you guys are familiar with flying, but flying, there's two types of flying in the flying airplanes. There's VFR and IFR. Anybody know what VFR means? Visual flight rules. Okay? IFR is another kind. That's when you go from VFR, and if you work hard and you spend lots of money and take lots of training, and eventually you get what's called IFR. Anybody know what IFR means? Instrument. That's it. Instrument flight rules. Okay? Different kind of flying. VFR flying is visual reference. You cannot fly without visual reference. That's VFR. You have to be able to... VFR is I follow. You follow rivers, railroads, and roads. Okay? It's having visual references. And you have to keep visual references in your... flying all the time. And in fact, if you're VFR only and you fly into where you can't see and you're only a VFR pilot, that is, if you do that, there's rules you have to follow. You can't go less than 1,000 feet between the cloud and the ground. That's a VFR rule. That's what's called VFR. You're following visual flight rules. Then, when you start I remember flying for a while VFR, and I knew I would never get a job as a commercial pilot if I did not have my IFR certification. So I remember one day I saved up enough money and borrowed more to go to Saskatoon, and I went to get my IFR training. And boy, oh boy, did they ever, it was such a totally different kind of flying. I mean, VFR, you just get in that plane and you push the throttle, and once you get to fly the plane, you kind of fly, it's called by the seat of your pants. That's VFR flying. That's the old Bush way of saying VFR, flying by the seat of your pants. I mean, you fly how you feel. That's how Brother Gunter would do it in Liberia, be VFR, you know. Now, I'm sure sometimes he was on the borderline of VFR and IFR, but after you fly, you know, and he probably had enough basic training that he could make it in Liberia in the fog and so forth. But it's flying by visual flight. And IFR, it's... They start training you. The way they train you in IFR, they put a hood over your head, and so you cannot see outside. And the instructor takes you up, and he's in the right seat, and he flies up, and he takes you up, and he says, "Okay, I want you to turn left." And when you first start with this hood on, and you start in a left turn, and you start going, and you do not too bad, you kind of get it, you know, it's easy. He says, "Okay, I want you to do a steep turn to the left." So you roll it right over to 60 degrees of bank, and you start turning. But all of a sudden, what you feel and what's really happening in the plane are sending different messages to you. And you end up, the plane starts going into weird configurations, and you hear the engine speeding up, and you think, "What is going on here?" And then he says, "Okay, roll it out." You roll it out. Then and because what you're going through is you're trying to fly by the seat of your pants. You're trying to fly how you feel. And it doesn't work in IFR flying. The whole thing going from VFR to IFR is you've got to get rid of flying by the seat of your pants. You've got to get rid of that flying by your feelings, and you've got to focus on the instruments. It's a whole new way of thinking. I knew this one old man. He came, the government passed the policy. He had flown for the government for 20 years. He was in the same class as me in Saskatoon. And that poor old guy, his name was Horn, Larry Horn. And that guy, I mean, he tried. He tried so hard to get into the IFR flying, and he never made it. He could not make the transition. He'd flown so many years by the seat of his pants, by flying, following roads and rivers and railroads. He could not make the, and lakes and hills, he could not make the transition to IFR. He was flying by how he felt. He could not get focused on the IFR rules, the IFR way. And what it is, and then they take, I remember this one time the instructor took me, he went up, he says, "We're going to do spins today under the hood." And I knew it the day before that we were going to do it. I was sweating bullets thinking about this. I thought, "Oh no, this is going to be awful." We took up, he flew up, we got up, and he says, "Okay, we're going to go into a... we're going to fly up," and he says, we got up, and he says, "Okay, we're going to start in a spin. I want you to take it into a stall spin, and then get the thing to spin, and then pull it out." In totally under the hood, without looking outside. And it was almost impossible. But I mean, he took me up, we did it again. We took it up, did it again. By the time he was done, I was soaking wet from my sweat just pouring out. As he's saying, you're getting into a dangerous configuration here. Get it out." But after a while, you know what? I learned how to do it. I could do it all under the hood. IFR, following IFR. What it is, you have to totally focus on those instruments in that airplane. And you have to get rid of all the feelings that are going through your body. You've got to get rid of all of those things that are telling you the airplane is in a turn. When you're looking at the thing, you feel by the seat of your pants you're turning this way. You look at the instrument, you're actually turning this way. And you've got to get rid of all those feelings and just go by what the instruments are saying. It's really a hard thing to do. Now, once you learn how to do it, it's actually not that bad. You kind of get to learn it, and you just rule out all the feelings. And you know what I see in that type, that IFR flying? It is so much like the Christian life. It is flying by instruments. And you know what our instrument is? It's right here. And as long as we keep this in front of us, and as long as we keep focused on this, as long as this is what gives us our direction, that is what we fly by. Not by the seat of our pants. But you know what we have in Canada? This is what we have. We have a whole bunch of Christians that are flying by the seat of their pants, by how they feel, instead of by faith in the Word of God. And that's what had happened at Corinth. Corinth was a church that had got off their eyes off of the God and the right things, and had drifted down to flying by the seat of their pants. Faith. Paul puts it in here. We walk by faith, not by sight. We fly IFR, not VFR. That's what he was saying. We fly IFR, not VFR. We walk by faith, not by sight. You know, the whole Christian life is faith. It's so simple, and yet it's so hard. It's so simple, and yet it's so profound. This life of faith. It is so amazing, and yet so few really enter into walking by faith. Walking by faith. He says, we walk by faith, not by sight. And that's after he talks about the body that we groan for, and the judgment seat of Christ in verse 10. He says, that's what we keep focused on. Keep focused on the judgment. We're going to receive in our bodies the things, good or bad. Every Christian, every one of us, are going to stand at the judgment seat of Christ and give an account for today in this prayer meeting. We're going to give an account for yesterday. We're going to give an account for last night. We're going to give an account for our marriages. We're going to give an account for how we've treated our families. We're going to give an account for how we've been fathers, how we've raised and spent our time with our children, nurturing them and helping them. We're going to give an account for how we've served in the local church. And that's the only thing that's going to matter. And we're going to stand at the judgment seat of Christ. He says, just make sure you got your clothes on. Make sure you've got your clothes on. Your clothes. That we don't be found naked. You know what he's saying there? We better have the right clothes on when we're at the judgment seat. We're going to be clothed upon. That means, he said, there's a whole bunch of people who are living by the seat of their pants. They're going to get there with that day, and they're not going to have much for clothes. That means they're not going to have the clothes of Christ's righteousness by faith. They're not going to be clothed with good works by faith. They're not going to be clothed with these things that are going to make a difference at the judgment seat of Christ. We walk by faith, not by sight. We fly IFR, not VFR. Now, turn to the Hebrews chapter 11 and verse... Oh, first of all, Romans 10 verse 17. We're closer. Just go back. Romans 10 verse 17. Romans 10 verse 17. A real familiar verse here, but it's important. Verse 17. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. What is faith? This, we walk by faith, not by sight. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. You know what that is? That is the instrument panel. Hearing the word of God. Boy, we need to hear the word of God. We need to be, every time the word of God is preached, we need to be there. Because it is what helps us keep our focus. It keeps us flying IFR. Flying IFR. Flying by instruments. This is our instrument panel. And the more we hear it, the better we're going to do. And you know, there's not an excuse for us today not to hear the Word of God. I mean, there is not an excuse. There is good preaching. You can get good preaching off the internet. You can get good preaching off at the church. You can get good preaching off the tapes and CDs. There's not an excuse in the world for us not to hear. And you can just get the Bible right on tape, just where you're just hearing the Bible being read all day. I mean, you can, farmers can do it in their tractors. We can do it when we go to work. We can hear the Word of God. And I'll tell you, you're a wise man if you make that priority in your life to hear the Word every time and every point. What it's going to do, it's going to help you keep flying right. Flying by faith, okay? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. You cannot have faith without the Word of God. The Word of God is the key to having faith. It's not positive thinking. It's not believing in yourself. It's not having the, you know, there's a whole bunch of weird doctrines on faith today. And it's none of, faith is a simple thing. It's just the Word of God. You've got to make sure you've got the Word of God. And the Word of God is what you're receiving. And it's the Word of God that gives us faith. You need to memorize the Word of God. You need to read the Word of God. I tell the guys at the jail, I was there yesterday afternoon, and I went to the jail and I said, every week, boy, it's amazing, exciting in there. I mean, let's do it. 15 guys. I think it was 15 guys in that group. And that's all we're allowed. We're not allowed to have more than 15 in the room. So 15, and they shut the doors. And we have to get them approved. And we go on Sundays. And I'm explaining to them about the Bible, importance of building new habits into your life. You've got to build habits into your life. And I said, it's bad habits that got you in here. But it's good habits that will keep you out. Maybe you're not in jail, but I'll tell you something. You might not be flying IFR. You might not be flying. It's because if you don't build the right habits into your life, habits of reading the Word of God, habits of prayer, habits, it's habits that keep us on track. It's habits. You know, flying in IFR, the pilot, the instructor used to keep hammering into us, you've got to build the habits of scanning the instrument screen. Left to right, not here, there. You've got to do it to form a habit of going left to right, left to right. You do your checks, your pre-landing checks. You do them here, downwind. You do them before you turn base light, and then they're already done. Flying is much like the Christian life. Habits. Building the right habits.
Habits will keep you airborne. Good habits will keep you alive. That's what the instructor used to say. He said, you get the good habits, they'll keep you alive. You're not going to end up as a dead someday.
Faith without faith. Walking by faith. I want to say here, look here now, without faith, Hebrews 11:6. Hebrews 11:6, it says, he says, the whole chapter here is about faith, Hebrews 11. But he says here in verse 11, chapter 11, verse 6, we saw in chapter 5 or 7, walking by faith, but now we see here, without faith. It says, without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Hey. I tell you something, this is an exciting verse about faith. Is about living by faith. God says, this is not me, God says, that if we diligently, it says, without faith we cannot please him. With faith we can, but he adds some things on here. He says, with faith we'll please him if we are diligent. You know what? Diligently seeking him by faith. You know what? It's diligence that will take you to higher planes. It's not sitting around. It's not getting sloppy, lazy. You've got to be diligent. I'll tell you, diligence in your faith life will take you to higher ground. Peter says, with adding all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and virtue knowledge, and knowledge temperance. He says, with all diligence. Listen, you know what diligence is? It's a habit. It's a habit. And without the habit of diligence in your life, you're not going to go very far. You've got to build diligence into your faith life. Diligence. Diligence will take you. You know what it'll take you? It'll take you to rewards. Great rewards. He's a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. He doesn't say He's a rewarder of them that slothfully seek Him. He doesn't say He's a rewarder of them that just find Him. He says He's a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him by faith. It's faith. I want to tell you, in 30 years I can tell you this, and I have not been a great Christian in many ways. There's not there, but I'll tell you one thing, that God is without a question, without a doubt, I can look back and I can see the rewards that He's brought into my life already. And you know, I've got a house to live in. And in our house we serve the Lord. I have a beautiful wife that God, and you know, when I got saved, I came to our church the first time. I had a girl, Catholic girlfriend. She was a Catholic. 1979, I started going to our church. I went to the church. I'm supposed to be talking to this thing. I went to the church, and I had this girlfriend with me. And then a nice girl. She was a nice girl. And I knew she had one thing on her mind. It was getting married someday. And I knew, me going to this church, I knew this was going to be a real test, whether she was going to go along with it or not. And I went once. I asked her, I said, "Why don't you come to church with me?" She came. She came the next Sunday. And on the third Sunday, she said, "I don't want to go to that church anymore." She says, "Why?" And she hadn't gone to the Catholic church. She was a Catholic, but hadn't been going to the Catholic church. She says, "Why don't you come to the Catholic church? Why won't you come to the Catholic church?" I said, "I don't. I said, I've been to a Catholic church. The Catholic church has nothing that I'm seeking for. I know what they teach at the Catholic church. They don't teach the Bible. I want to be in a church that teaches the Bible." And I knew I had to make a choice there. I knew that was a huge step for me. And now I look back on it, it doesn't seem that big of a thing, but boy, at the time I knew if I was going to keep going to that Baptist church, I probably was going to lose that girlfriend. And I made the step. And you know something? The next Sunday, she didn't come. And the next Sunday, she didn't come. I said, I made up my mind. I was going for God. I was going to put God first. And I put the Lord first in my life. And you know something? And I did it diligently. And looking back, I am so glad I did. I am so glad I did. 1 year passes. 2 years pass. 3 years pass, 4 years pass, I graduate from Bible college, another year passes. The pastor of our church, he says, "You know, we're going down on a tour, a choir tour into the northern eastern states." He said, "I'd like you to come and help us. Would you be able to come and help us?" And I didn't like choir tours a whole lot, to be honest with you. Preaching, I love. Choir tours, I wasn't too crazy about. At first, I was good, but piling 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 kids into a van and going from church to church, but it was serving the Lord, and I just wanted to serve the Lord. We went. Second church we were in. They were telling me about this girl that was at this church that used to go to the Bible college I went to and never met her, but she would. And we got there. We got into the church, and she was playing the piano. The next day, I got to meet her a little bit more, and over a year and a half later, guess what? We got married. You know what? That was a reward of diligently seeking Him. That's what it is. God, that was a reward. And you know what I have now? I have four children. You know what those four kids? One is going, they're all four of them, all four of them went to Pensacola Christian College. They all have a heart to serve the Lord, and they want to serve God. And you know something? You know, when I look back, I am so thankful. My kids aren't perfect, but I'll tell you, they do have a heart to serve God. One of my daughters sent a letter. They're meeting every morning. I believe, for prayer meeting every Thursday night, for praying for a revival with a bunch of other kids. They're praying on Friday night for a revival. They're praying for Canada's revival. They're praying for a revival down there. That's all these kids, you know. And I just, when I get stuff like that, I just think, oh God, you're so good. You know what that is? It's a reward of diligently seeking Him. That's what that is. I'm telling you, you put God first, and you go by faith, and you keep your focus on the panel, on the instrument, by IFR, and there's rewards. There's a great reward. The other day, and this happens regular, I fly part-time for a doctor in Prince Albert, who, by the way, the guy who I'm flying for is now coming to our church every Sunday. He comes every Sunday. He's not, I don't know if he's saved yet, but he is very close. But the other day, I'm the bad weather pilot. He calls me when it's bad weather. He flies himself, but every time if the weather is not very good, like foggy and terrible weather, he'll phone me up and he says, Dave, can you come and give me a hand to fly IFR? So it was horrible up north. The wind was blowing and the snow was blowing and it was just a blizzard. And we flew up north, and I checked the weather before we left, and it says the tops are 10,000, 12,000 feet, icing in the cloud. And I thought, boy, I don't know if we're going to get on top of this. If we start picking up ice all the way through this stuff, by the time we get to the top, I don't know if we'll get through it. And I thought, but we've got to try. I'm sure we can get out the worst. And we had it out. We could get back down underneath if we had to, because we're flyable underneath. Not very good. It was terribly rough and windy underneath. But if we could only get on top, that's the key in IFR flying, is getting on top if you can. We taxied out onto the runway in Sandy Bay. We pushed the throttles forward, and we took roared down through that storm in the runway. We accelerated, went up, and we flew. 10 minutes flying up, up, up through that cloud. And all of a sudden, I could start seeing the light of the sun to start shining through that dark cloud. And we're coming up, and I think we're going to get there. We're going to make it. We're going to get on top. And we flew, and we flew, and we flew. And all of a sudden, I could see that big old sun getting clearer and clearer. And all of a sudden, we just blew through the top of those clouds, and we were up and top in the sunshine. And there is no feeling like that. That is one of the greatest feelings of flying IFR. And I said to the doctor, I said, you know something? All that money you have to pay to get your instrument flight rating, every time we do this, it makes it all worth it. It makes it all worth it. All those other people were still down in the storm. We were up in the sunshine. They were all down with the wind blowing and the snow blowing, and they're getting stuck in the road, and we were up in the sunshine. You know how we did that? IFR. You can't do that VFR. You have to do that by instruments. It's the only way you'll get there. You know what? That's one of the rewards of IFR flying. You know what, for the Christian? That's what it's going to be for us someday. I told Dr. Steen, I said, Doctor, I said, this is what it's going to be for the Christian someday. We're going to blow through out of this world, and we're going to be there in front of Him in all of His glory. That's what it's going to be. But we're not going to get there VFR. It's got to be IFR. By faith, not by sight. You will never see the glory of God going by the seat of your pants. And there's a whole bunch of Christians, there's a whole bunch of churches, that's all they teach and that's all they preach. And the people have never learned the blessing of going by faith, not by sight. We want to go where we can feel, where we can touch, where we can taste, where we can see, where we can hear. Something here that makes sense to it all. Faith does not make sense until it's real faith. Once it's faith, you get a different set of eyes, you get a different set of ears, and you get a whole different way of touching by IFR. Amen? We walk by faith, not by sight. That's the Christian life. We do things in Liberia by faith, not by sight. We'll send containers by faith. It doesn't make sense. Not by sight. We make decisions by faith, not by sight. We go forward in the kingdom of God by faith, not by sight. We take things out of our wallet and we give to the glory of God by faith, not by sight. We progress forward in our life by faith, not by sight. We teach and train our children, raise them for God in our way totally different from the world by faith, not by sight. But today I've got 4 kids that are serving God because I made a big decision way back there when they were little. We were going to do this by God's way, not our way. Not the world's way. We'll go by faith, not by sight. And I promise you, gentlemen, I promise you upon the Word of God, and I'm here 30 years later to prove it, that if you'll do that, there's going to be great rewards. Great rewards. Down here, there's going to be rewards. But it's nothing compared to when we blow through. We go through. We're going to be on top. We're going to see Him as He is. It's just that... That is what, when we see Him face to face, it is going to be such a great day. No, we only walk by faith. Without faith is impossible to please Him. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 3 says, remembering without ceasing your work of faith. You know what? We work by faith. There's work involved in our faith. Not just living by faith, not just by... But working by faith. The faith life is a working life. But not by, you know, you go and do your work, you go to your job because there's a reward. You're getting a paycheck. That's why you do it. It makes sense. If I go there 2 weeks, I'm getting so much an hour. At the end of that, at the paycheck, I get a paycheck and I get to bring that home. And that's what's going to feed the kids. There's nothing wrong with doing that. That's a good thing. But that is not a work of faith. A work of faith is when you do something and there's nothing really that makes sense at the end of what you're doing. Some of you know exactly what I mean. I told the guys, we've been renovating our church right now. We're just giving it a renovation. The carpet was wore out. The walls were wore out. Everything's getting wore out. It's been there for 40 years. And we just needed to give it a facelift. The boiler was wore out. We didn't know that. But the boiler was wore out right in the middle of the renovation. The boiler breaks down. We have to replace the boiler. And that I was not expecting at all. I remember sitting when the boiler broke down. I sat in this chair in our church and I thought, Lord, why did that have to happen now? And then I remembered, that's not my church, it's His. It's His church. And you know what? We did what we did, and those people that come from our church, all these men and people, they drive sometimes an hour and a half to come and help, paint our church, work in our church. And I told this young boy that was there, at the end of the day, I said, you know, I shook his hand, I said, thank you very much, Spencer. I said, for your good work today. He worked hard. 15-year-old boy, and with his dad in there helping. And I said, Spencer, you've done a good job today. And I said, you know something? You made a lot today. He looks at me. I said, you made a lot today. You really earned a lot today. I said, the only thing is you have to wait a while to get it. You got to wait a while to get it. That's a work of faith. You're working for the Lord, serving God, work of faith. And the Thessalonian Christians were doing that. He said, I remember without ceasing your work of faith. You know, work of faith. The faith life is a life of walking and working. And without it, you can't please Him. How are you living it today? Living your faith life, IFR. You know, we're going to get in a plane. We're going to board a flight someday that's going to take us all the way home. He says, Paul says, for in this do I groan. we're going to have a new body. Our opportunities to serve are going to be over. We're not going to get any more chance to pray, no more chance to serve God, no more chance to share the gospel with somebody, no more chance to go to Liberia and preach, no more chance to go and help in Kindersley. It'll be over. No more chance to serve. What we've done, we've done. And then we'll stand before Christ and give an account of the things done in this body, whether it's good or bad. You'll still get a new body. But it's going to be sad that if we don't have anything good, or what little good we have to offer, good or bad, you know, that's going to be the final flight we'll all take. Up. We're going to blow through, right into the glory of God. How are you living it today? Are you really diligently seeking Him? Are you diligently serving Him? Are you diligently doing what you can to keep your focus IFR and not VFR, diligently flying with your focus onto Jesus, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith.
Amen.
Let's pray. Father, Lord, we know that it's easy to look in the wrong direction. Lord, to fly by the seat of our pants when we should be flying IFR. You want to take us above the clouds. You want to take us to new heights. But there's only one way to get there, faith. Lord, help us. Help this church. Help each of us, Lord, to live by faith and not by sight. Lord, it's so easy to slide into living by sight. We'll do this because we know this will happen. We do this because we know this. Instead of just by faith stepping out. And yet that's the exciting part of the Christian life, is just stepping across the line. Stepping out where there is nothing to see except your word. Please bless this church and these men. Help them to learn the secret, and reward them greatly for it. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.